The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long. We'll be joined by Mike Hoss, Voice of the Saints, at 5:45 for our triple option feature. And then Mike's got a couple hours, and he'll be talking Saints football. And we'll be talking some Saints football also. A little after 4:20, a guy who one day he's going to walk into Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that's Cam Jordan. He's going to join us to talk about a pickleball event that he's got going on, also about upcoming training camp and season 2025 for Cam. Man, it seems just like yesterday. He was a first-round pick in 2011, and how time has passed. So before we go any farther, I want to remind everybody, all of South Louisiana is under a multi-day flood watch. And WWL reminds you, if you're tracking the tropical disturbance that could potentially bring heavy rains and possibly even some street flooding in our area over the next few days, the impact all depends on how this system structures or doesn't structure in the Gulf. But if you want all the latest information on what's happening with this tropical disturbance that's in the Gulf today, keep it locked on WWL for the latest every hour on the hour news, real time at WWL.com. And you can download the Odyssey app so you can always stay connected to WWL. We'll be giving you all that information. And certainly from the grumbling I hear outside, I think we're fixing to get it fairly soon. We talked a little bit about it. Cam Jordan will join us at a little after 4:20 today to talk about Saints season. And Cam's done so much for the community in so many different ways. And he has started this pickleball event. We all know Drew Brees has been involved with it for many years. And I think he's got an event sometime in August. And so find out a little bit how much Cam has played a little pickleball. I know he's going to do some charity stuff over the weekend with it. At 4:40, we'll have Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag Magazine talking about SEC Media Days, his expectations for LSU and the other top teams in the Southeast Conference. And at 5:20, Evelyn Van Pelt from the Rebel Walk will be on with us. She was at SEC Media Days, and I saw she was just on with Paul Feinbaum. So she got her first run with old Paul to do some ESPN radio on. So this year, LSU Ole Miss, they play in late September. My goodness, how times have changed, because that used to be a Hollywood Halloween night type event. And we all remember, you know, kind of growing up, you're a certain age, everybody would show it on television. Billy Cannon's Halloween Night Run is such a memorable deal, and kind of a Hollywood script to how Cannon made that work when he was told not to return a punt if it bounced in front of him, to let it roll. And before Billy passed away, he had done some shows with Buddy DiLiberto and I, and he was like, how could I get out the way? The ball bounced right to me. And so he said, I caught it, and I just took off with it. And it went from no, 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 Billy, to run, 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 Billy. And one of the memorable moments in LSU football history. But they play in late September this year. So, and man, it's a tough month. And when you're talking about when you start the season out against Clemson, and then you sort of finish it out playing Florida and also Ole Miss. Charlie, we've talked about this before, but Jay Johnson doesn't sleep much at night. Well, that's all I know. And today, again, he showed that he's been sort of the, I don't know if you want to call him the king of the transfer portal.
Let's do it, Mike. Let's call him the king.
But he's certainly right around where the crown's put on. And they landed today Cooper Moore, a right-hand pitcher from Kansas. He was 7-3 last year, 14 starts, had a 3.96 ERA, 88 innings pitch, 85 strikeouts. And the number that caught me is only 19 base on balls. So he shows pretty good control in that area. another big pickup for LSU. And he started out as a relief pitcher, but I think they're bringing him in. He was a starter last year for the Jayhawks. They brought him in to be part of the starting pitching crew at LSU for 2026.
A couple notes on Cooper here, Mike. You know, just one of the top arms in the transfer portal out of Kansas, a team that made it to the NCAA tournament this past year, and they were a two seed in the Fayetteville regional, if you'll remember. Cooper Moore, one of the, like, he was a Friday guy, a Saturday guy as well for this Kansas Jayhawk program this past year. 6'1", 200 pounds. He already shared the numbers about his ERA, the amount of strikeouts to walks. He was a workhorse this year at times, Mike. He had seven different games with seven innings pitched or more, and seven games with 100 pitches or more. And then, you know, if you're talking about the standout performances kind of late in the year in the Big 12, he had a really good showing against West Virginia. Obviously, LSU fans will remember that matchup in the Super Regional round in Baton Rouge. Eight innings pitched, gave up 10 hits, but had eight strikeouts, only three runs, got the win at West Virginia in a critical game for Kansas down the stretch. Just a really strong pitcher, Mike. Someone that contributed a lot of innings for that Kansas Jayhawk program this past year that, as I mentioned, was very, very solid. And the numbers kind of speak for themselves. There's a reason that he was viewed as one of the top transfer portal arms, and Jay Johnson goes out and gets him.
And Nate Yeske working with him, and we've seen what Coach Yeske has done with other pitchers and just elevating their game. Interesting when you read the background on him. He was a former catcher in high school, multi-sport athlete. And so, man, go from catcher to pitcher. You know, that I've said this before about the being a catcher. It's sort of like playing center in football. They don't have a lot of guys' hands up in the air to do that, because that's a grinding position to play catcher and also to play center when you're on a football team. But that's what he was in high school. He was the number one rated catcher in the state of Oklahoma. He's from Bixby, Oklahoma. So another big pickup for Jay Johnson and company, a big right-hand pitcher. And you can expect that that's what they're bringing in, is another starting pitcher to the LSU lineup in Cooper Moore. When we come back, we'll have on with us the legendary Cam Jordan, and he's still playing right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Dettelia, along with Charlie Long, handling things behind the scenes. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, he's the future Pro Football Hall of Famer, and maybe one day a future Hall of Famer in pickleball, Cam Jordan. Cam, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Man, I appreciate you guys going on. I don't even know if that's even possibly a Hall of Famer in pickleball. But I do love it. Hey, I got to dabble last offseason, and then I sort of took it on seriously this offseason. I've had a hell of a time.
I was going to ask you about that, because I know Drew Brees, he's been involved with it pretty early on. And so you say you started this last year in pickleball.
Man, like a couple weeks before camp. So I got like 2 weeks of real run at it this offseason. It's been one of my mainstays. I try pickleball wherever I'm at.
Cam, one of the things I think a lot of – I told this to Cesar Ruiz a couple of days ago when he was on. A lot of times, you know, people complain about athletes, and I think all of it is because of money. But, you know, when they do so much for the community that you really don't see. And I know with you, because I've seen it, on your off day, during the season, you go to a hospital or to a school and visit children, visit people, and give back to the community. And that's part of what you have going on with the Cam Jordan Foundation. And we'll talk about the pickleball event, but how much you give back to this community, and other athletes do it too, but you know what gets the headlines? If you get in trouble.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's easier to say, hey, he's not on the right path than he is. But what's so infectious about New Orleans is it also feels like family. What's so great about being a part of the Saints is I've had so many teammates, Tyrann Mathews, you know, Teron Armstead, Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, over the years just give back so much. DeMarco Davis, you know, he'll start up one of his, one of his schools on his own. I mean, the Devoted Dreamers is such a huge dominant foundation between Mississippi and Louisiana. It's impressive to see what DeMar Davis has done. And I'm inspired just by other people giving. But the fact that I've been able to rest my head and knowing 15 years I gave it my all on and off the field has been tantamount to my success alone. I mean, the ability to give back, the ability to be around these kids while talking about school, talking about education, just inspired me to, like, what more can I do? So, you know, I switched over to and created the Cam Jordan Foundation so I can make that my top objective, is helping provide, you know, opportunities to the local youth, where this year alone, we just sent four deserving kids from Louisiana, from the, you know, class 2025 Louisiana high schoolers, to receive scholarships to in-state colleges starting this August. I mean, I'm literally just wanting to do the most and the best for our city, because that's what it feels like. It feels like it's our city. And I know I'm a transplant, but 15 years here, meet the wife here, you know, all four kids is born here, real true New Orleans babies, you know what I'm saying? Like, off Claiborne Hospital, Magnolias is what I call them. but it's just that easy to give back, because, again, it just feels familiar. It feels inclusive. It feels like there's so much good that's happening around me. I want to be a part of that. There's so many positive messages that you give out. And, of course, I'm always going to talk about, you know, my passions. If it wasn't for school, I couldn't have gone to college like Cal. If it wasn't for football, I couldn't have made it to the Saints. If it wasn't for the people around me, I don't know if I would have had the longevity I have. And so I try and instill that passion whenever I go to these school visits. I see these kids and, like, how'd you get there? By dealing with the right people, by making the right decisions, by doing the right things, by outworking, trying to outwork everybody. And that's how you promote yourself in class and outside the class, just the way I do on the field, off the field.
That was going to be my next question, because I knew that you had given the scholarships to four high school men and women that are going to school, and how that must be gratifying, so gratifying to you to see them live out their dreams too, or at least to start it in college.
Amen. I hope it's something I can continue to do for the rest of my life. I mean, seeing these kids smile, knowing that they don't have to worry about that college debt, knowing that they don't have to do anything but focus on the alleys that they want to pursue. That's what I'm excited about. I mean, I saw those kids. I met these kids. I read, you know, we have 100 and over 100 applications, and all we could pick was four, and that broke my heart. I was like, I've got to do more to raise more to get more kids to college. Because there's so many well-deserving kids in our Louisiana area. There's so many great kids in the greater city of New Orleans and beyond. You want to help. You want to participate. You want to be a part of their path. And, you know, something like this pickleball thing is going to help. You know, pickleball tournament will create some revenue and put some money into the foundation. So, again, we can pump that out. That's, you know, I don't even want to afford the backpack drives, the camps that we do, you know, the shoe give backs, the food giveaways, all of the things that we've been able to do this, you know, this last year alone, minus what it was when it was God is Love Foundation, you know, the laptop giveaways. There's so many different activations, but my main focus now is, how do we get more kids in school? How do we change the trajectory of not only their lives, but their family lives around them? I feel like when one person creates a positive reflection, you can create more. You know, the idea that you can always give more, there's an idea that if one positive action creates more positive actions.
Cam, it seems, I told this to Charlie beforehand, it seems like almost yesterday you were picked in round one in 2011. Has it passed by that quickly for you two? Because your dad had a long career, Steve Jordan. He had a 13-year career in the National Football League, which is really long, but you've exceeded that. And how Mike, quickly that passes for you as an athlete.
Mike, what would make you think that this passed by fast?
No,
I was in the league at 21 years old. I was single. I didn't know what I didn't know. And now sitting at the theater, just turned 36 this past Thursday, I'm so blessed and honored to have been able to be a part of this storied franchise for going on 15 seasons. But that's just it. Each and every one of these seasons was not fast. In fact, last year might have been the only one I was like, wow, this would actually pass by fast. I mean, there's been years where you looked around and said, man, I can't believe how good we are. Man, I can't believe how bad we are. Man, this back hurts. This hurts. This, man, the 16 games going to 17 games, that's a stretch. We're at 17 games now. You know, there's been years where you look at it by, not only by injuries or by the success stories, you look at it along and you're like, man, I remember 2015, I had my first kid, Tank. You know, 2020, I got kicked out of my first game. Subsequently, the day my daughter was born. for the third, fourth quarter of the Saints versus Chiefs game. I get kicked out, and I literally get kicked out. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. All right, I'm going to go have my child. Like, there's, you know, each one of these moments, each one of these highlights, see, whatever that is, you know, my, for scoring my first touchdown in the Saints Dome against Stafford when he was playing with the Detroit Lions, to watching Jimmy Graham dunk in Atlanta and hang on the goalpost and bring it down, and now you can't dunk on a goalpost anymore. You know, like, thanks, Jimmy Graham, who just finished the Arctic Challenge that he just did, that monstrous run that he just went through the Arctic Fjord or whatever that was, 1,000 kilometers worth of rowing, him and three participants. I mean, this, I'm just, you know, each one of these years has had a testament of their own. And I remember all of them, and none of them went by fast, except for maybe 2024. And rightfully so. Probably the worst season that I've ever had as a Saint. Not probably. The worst season I've ever had as a Saint, winning 5 games out of 17. And we're working our butts off now to make sure that we don't feel like the way we felt last year, this year.
From day one when you get into the league till today, and I talked to Ruiz about this, and he was like, you know, I just thought, man, I'd work with the weights and do some runs and everything. Now, today, for me, it's about diet. It's about, you know, trying to keep my weight down. It's about working on my technique. Is that the same sort of thing with you even throughout all these years, that you work on that so much in the off season?
Any year that you say, hey, I figured it out, is a year that you've wasted. Any day that you wake up and you say, you know what, I think I'm good today, is a day that you have put to bed when you could succeed and push yourself further. I've always looked at it like, hey, this is a year to define myself. This is a year where I make myself known. This is a year where I have to go earn it, because each one of these opportunities is rare. I mean, you look at guys, I've seen guys come and go. I've seen guys with all the talent in the world miss out on the opportunities. I've seen guys who are given all the opportunities in the world take advantage and succeed. I've seen, you know, teammates, I've seen myself projected however it was and beat those expectations. At the end of it all, at the root of it all, it's all about your hard work. It's all about your effort and your want to, your ambitions. What is it that's going to wake you up in the morning and drive you to the next level? It's probably where, you know, I used to hold on to a moniker 1% better every day came from, because I was like, all right, yesterday was yesterday. How do I get better today? And that's how I look at it every offseason. I just finished up my second workout right before I called you guys, and it was like, all right, during this, what can I create that's going to make me better for tomorrow? Whether that's my short explosion work, whether that's the weights part, whether it's the running part, and I'm all about running. I'm all about conditioning. I'm all about straining the mentals so at your weakest moment you can be at your strongest. And that's, you know, that's how I sort of look at life. How can I get better? Where can I learn from? Because you can learn from anybody. You can learn from a 12-year-old. I've learned things from my son, whether it be skibbity toilet to whatever the new vernacular is that they're using, to, you know, what I want to know from my quarterback, and that could be Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shough, that could be Drew Brees. I learned something from Drew earlier today, and I'm like, yo, there's always something you can learn. So it doesn't matter where. Never stay stagnant. Always push forward.
I was going to ask you, did you know Bo Davis, your new defensive line coach, before he took the job with the Saints? And getting to know Bo, he's been an old hand at this, man. I covered him. He was a player at LSU. Then he became one of the weightlifting guys, and he kind of went from here to there. Really turned out to be one of the top defensive line coaches in college football. He did have a stint with the Lions. But did you know Bo before, and how that relationship has evolved over the last few months?
Heck nah. I mean, I had like a passing by, but you don't catch all that is Bo without knowing him, without talking to him, without actually sitting down. A passerby is, oh, okay, how you doing? And I move on. That's not the same as, you know, when you're watching him as he works with the interior D line, as he's working with Brian Brzee, as he's working with Milton, as he's working with Jonah Williams, and I mean, Christian Boyd. When he works with Devon Godshall, you're seeing the effort, you're seeing the passion, and that mug got a lot of passion. I was like, you know, I don't know where he's from, but he was born of old school football. I was like, that's probably the last of the fire brimstone guys that you're gonna get. I was like, and these new age kids, they're not, man, 2000 babies ain't built like that. But you love to see it, like just the passion that he brings to the table.
No question about that part. You know, the last couple years, it's old school football, but it does apply. You got to stop the run and run the football to win. The Eagles, perfect example of that. They threw the football less than any other team in the NFL, But they ran it more. And, you know, if I had that offensive line and Saquon, I would do it too. And, you know, you see that that's been a little bit of a miss for this football team the last couple of years. It's not as good as it was in the past. Has that been really the focus of this offseason, to get better stopping the run? Because if you don't stop it, teams are going to keep just ramming it right down the middle on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, what's not been good is, we're saying the defensive side, yeah, we can always improve. This year, you know, this past year, I said, all right, this is where we can help. This is how we can do it, whatever. And you're sitting there as we're pushing younger guys toward the forefront. It always starts with the run. If you can get a third and favorable, you get a second and long, that's where you get to see haymakers. And you try and preach that. And at the same time, you know, you just got to take advantage of every opportunity. And when you watch them slip, you understand the reasons why. When you're top five in run defense, you can see why you're top 10, top five in pass rush, because they go hand in hand. You can see, you know, if you can make a team singly focused, what you can take away from them and then go from there. Offensive-wise, I don't know. Look, Alvin was quite special last year. I mean, I know he missed, what, the last two or three games, but he was running at a high clip. I'm so excited to see the way he came in. What did he go for, 1,000? Let's call it 950 yards.
Yeah, he was short of 1,000 again.
Just shy. And I'll say, what do you miss out the last three games? You know, like when you get bumped out the playoff, whatever that implication is. I was like, man, what AK means to the team, what he means to the run game, when he's on the field, it's a different feeling for an offense to face a defense.
No question, because he brings that element too. Because now, really, a lot of these passes are almost like an extended handoff. And so, man, when he's out in the open field, he's a dangerous guy. From what you've seen, okay, I know you've done some work on television. Give us your evaluation, Tyler Shuck, and from what you've seen in the practices.
I would do no such thing. Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, we're talking about they've been lighting it up. All OTAs. You've seen the prettiest deep balls being thrown from Spencer Rattler, I mean, to Tyler Shuck, and just the way he approached the game, his mentality, his drive, or established drives. Those, you know, you've seen so many positives from both of them. But I'm a veteran in the game. I don't believe in, you know, in what we look like without pads. When we put pads on, I can give an honest opinion. Right now, we've got nothing but excitement and hope with those two guys. You look at Tyler Shuck, and I'm like, look, he's coming in like a pro. He's coming in mindset. All right, this is offense. This is how I can call it. This is how I can make it my own touch. You see Spencer Rattler, second year in the league. He got to touch the field last year, and he didn't even see a healthy offensive line. So people have been like, oh, well, Tyler Shuck. Oh, you don't get it. This kid is a baller. He was working with two guys that would start on the offensive line versus all five. You give him a chance, we'll see what happens. I think our key to success is how healthy we'll be, and I know that we brought a new coaching staff. Everybody's been bought in on not only nutrition, stretching, all the above, but everybody's emphasizing a familial effect. And, I mean, it's too early to say we're a family, but the way OTAs happen, it seems like everybody understands. If we're together, we're going to be at our best. If it's all about me's eyes and what can I do, that's just a whole bunch of individuals. This is a team sport. Me may be in there, but it takes a team to win.
Cam, it's a new defense this year in the 3-4 alignment, and so that means new responsibilities at times, possibly even dropping back more into coverage for a defensive end,
right?
under a new defensive coordinator. So and that part is going to evolve throughout time, through training camp and throughout the season. So how would you assess that? Because for guys like you and Chase Young and Carl Granderson, hey, it's sort of a little bit new than what you have done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. There was years where, you know, DA had us dropping quite a lot back when Trey Henderson was in the gap. It was me, Trey, Marcus Davenport. Now, we got away from that. You got back to ends holding the edge at all times and everything else, but it's not unfamiliar territory. Now, if it's a norm, then, yeah, I guess we wouldn't be dropping every play, but I doubt we do that either way. At the end of the day, football is football, and we know that to have a strong line, it starts with having a strong edge, and then probably you have a stout middle. You know, and I think we drafted D tackle from University of Texas this year to address those needs. Brian Bazee had a heck of a year last year, You talk about Colin Sanders. We bring in the addition of Devon Godshall. Nate Shepard's been here. We bring in Jonah Williams. Christian Boyd is coming to his second year, so he may be coming into it as true nose. The interior is going to be like that soon enough.
My thing,
from everything else, we can work.
Yeah, you got to make it work. You got to make it work. Your comments on DeMario Davis, because, you know, you see what he puts into this game and how talented he is as a player. And he has spoken so highly of you when he first came here. And you know, you being the leader on the defensive side, the football. But your comments on DeMario and what he means to this football team.
Man, I mean, DeMario Davis is just the epitome of a pro. When he came in from the Browns, Jets, it was the Jets, because he was at the Jets, then went to the Browns, went back to the Jets, then came to us, I was like, you didn't really know who he was because he was stuck in, you know, that territory. But he gets to us, and he has shined ever so brightly. I used to look at him like, I'm a man, I'm like, he's this big. I was like, why haven't I heard of him before? Whether it was opportunity, I don't know what it was. This man came in torrential downpour. The way he's, as a middle linebacker, comes downhill. The way he's able to be so savvy and help other people out. The way he plays the game. I mean, there was a hit, I think, his first year or two with us where we were playing Tampa Bay. The refs had called, like, a penalty on him for roughing up the running back or something like that. And I was like, oh. And he only turned up from there. I said, this dude is a warrior. It's rare to find a warrior like a D lineman stuck in a middle linebacker's body, and he's one of them. So he's been family since. I mean, the way he takes on the field, he takes off the field. Man has a heart meant for the Lord's work. I mean, he goes out to community, whether the Devoted Dreamers, flag football, he starts his own school. I mean, there's so many things that you can pinpoint, and yet he's the ultimate businessman as well. He's so savvy in every form of life. It's impressive. It's inspiring, honestly. It's like, all right, this is what I'm doing. I feel like I'm doing a lot. And you look over and you have a teammate like DeMario Davis. You're like, oh, let me up my game. Like, I've had a Pro Bowls. I've had an All-Pro. No, I need more. You know, I've had drives or you know, food drives, whether it's the trying to take down the digital divide, whether it's promoting, you know, these kids to go into college, whether it's I'm a sneakerhead, so I like to give back sneakers at Christmas to these kids that are, you know, deserving through the Yep program. It's you see guys like that, and you're like, man, I got to do more. Like, how can I help my community? I feel like he's given so much, I've given so much, and yet I feel re-inspired watching him give. On and off the field, it's just it's inspiring when you have a teammate like that. You can't teach that. I don't know how he learned it. I mean, I can look at myself and be like, man, my dad played in the league and he gave back, and I had the mold in front of me. DeMario, straight from Mississippi Mud, and the way he gives back, you're re-inspired every time. It's a salutation to how a man is supposed to treat himself.
No question about that. Cam, tell us, as we end this interview, the Exchange Pickleball and Bar, this coming Sunday, July 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. is the pickleball event. So tell everybody a little bit about it, how they can get tickets or be involved in the pickleball event.
Man, look, it's a tournament that I like the format of. Look, I can't say this. I'm sure there's perfect people. I ain't perfect on the course, but I enjoy it. I love it. You know, there will be a king of the court format with rotating partners stepping on the court throughout the tournament as select people, teammates go through. You know, I'm definitely going to partake in this. That's just how much I care about it. But the pickleball has become a passion more than a hobby for me this off season. I mean, I'm not saying I got addicted, but like, that's where we're at now. I was like, oh, let's do a tournament. But yeah, you can find a pickleball tournament at Sunday at the Exchange, which is in, you know, uptown New Orleans, from 2 to 5 p.m. The proceeds will benefit my foundation, the Cam Jordan Foundation. Obviously, my foundation has been able to send kids to college, and I want to send so many more kids. I've sent 4. I want to one day stand up proud and say, hey, we've sent, you know, over 100 kids as we look back at it, and we've still got more to send. It's just a way where the city and the people can go hand in hand and have a good time while raising money.
And you can get, if you want to be a participant, you can sign up through Saturday at camjordanfoundation.org/pickleball. And tickets also can be purchased from that website. Cam, thanks so much for joining us. Man, God bless you. Do so much for the community. We really appreciate it. Always been a joy to watch on the field. But what you do off the field is so inspiring to so many.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, we've got I think I might have not mentioned. I mean, we got champion prizes, you know, first, second, third places. I think I'm gonna bring in a signed jersey. You know, I'm gonna bring in some teammates. We're gonna make a blast. I appreciate you for having me on. Just know you can, you know, figure out the how to participate in whatever category. I'm always thankful over at camjordanfoundation.org/pickleball.
Thanks so much, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
All righty. Cam Jordan does a great job for the community. He's been a fantastic football player for this team. We'll come back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. We went a little bit long with Cam, but man, he always great to have him on. We've had some people text about sandbags in the area, if they can get them. You can go on WWL.com and get all that information on where they're distributing sandbags in the area. And in some low-lying areas, if you want to be careful with it, you can get that information again off of WWL.com. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here on hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long. I want to thank Cam Jordan for joining us. I knew the interview went a little bit longer, but Cam was always great to give his time and certainly in what he does for the community. And so, man, we're thrilled to have him on, and hopefully you know, he knows he's in the winter years of his football career. And I know one thing, he'll be in the media like us one day, Charlie, the way he can talk. It'll pass by fast. I know I'm getting old. I wanted to tell him, not every time I look in the mirror, because I know how old I am, but, man, I see my grandkids. That's when you really know you're getting up there and how fast things pass in life for you. Evelyn Van Pelt, who we had scheduled for 5:20, isn't feeling well today. We'll have her on next week, but we'll have on Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag magazine. He was at LSU and covered the Tigers, also was at SEC Media Day. Give us his thoughts on, man, so many debates about SEC quarterbacks and who's the best one of the bunch. We'll get Glenn's take on that, who the top teams are in the SEC, right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL. We'll have all that information on that tropical system in the Gulf. You can find it right here at WWL.com.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.